Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But we don't show prep, so,
so he had no idea.
I just barely make it in.
You know, I'm sure you can tell, but we don't show prep.
I mean, let's put the cards down on the table here.
Miami Hurricanes, yeah, you know the name already, it's Mercy, ha ha, it's the Six Rick Kane Show, can't forget the name though, got Jazz, Blue, Vision, DJ, break the game code, ain't no changing them, ain't no breaking them, real poor alive from the Hard Rock Stadium, ball 14 for the orange and green, we see the Six Rick champs, it's more than a dream, this is life on the field, beyond 100 yards, a hurricane that's never still put a damage to your squad. The Six Rick Kane Show. The Six Rick Kane Show. The Six Rings Kane Show. You know.
What's wrong with us? Seriously.
What's wrong with us? We're Miami Hurricanes fans.
Welcome to the Six Rings Kane Show, a show dedicated to Miami Hurricane sports, featuring the legendary Larry Bluestein, Jazz Santana, Vish, and Danny Gillette. Let's go, Canes.
Welcome back, everybody. Good evening. It's the 2000th rendition of... well, I have no idea what...
We should have kept count. What did you say? I was like, do we have count? We haven't count since we did the audio feed over to a Red Circle. I can count that. But
Yeah.
We're coming up on our fourth year this August. So
Four years already in August. Jeez.
Yeah.
This show's come a long way, man. But anyways... Thank you. How was everybody's 4th of July weekend? Blue, what'd you do this weekend?
What'd I do? I went and saw Northwestern and Central fight. And they canceled the 7-on-7 tournament. Two Atwells tournament, and Central and Northwestern went at it. They kicked them out, and on the way back to their cars or whatever, they went at it again. And so they canceled all the rest of the game Saturday and canceled all Sunday, which sucks. That prompted the 7-on-7 that was supposed to be this week to be canceled too, because they would think there needs to be a cool down period. So, yep. So never any excitement in South Florida.
Never a dull moment, right?
Yeah,
unbelievable. Yeah. Well, that kind of sucks because you've got obviously some, you know, two of Dade County's, you know, best football programs going at it. And, it would have been fun to watch, for sure.
Well, they did. That's the thing.
Well, yeah, they literally went at it, right?
Yeah, they literally. But The other thing that it took away from the rest of the tournament, which kind of sucked because there were some really good teams there, Chaminade, Norlin programs, and then it was – and Tutu Atwell puts a cash prize into it. And
right.
Nobody won.
Well, that's a – you know, that kind of puts a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths also. These 7-on-7s are – you know, excuse me, some of them are just a little too crazy. They're too, I mean, there's too much of it going on sometimes, I know a lot of people would say, but the truth is,
I agree.
Blue, I mean, your take on it, because look, I've
been to a million of them this offseason, and I'm rather tired of them, really, but.
Well, and I'm kind of the old school person that I like to see, you know, kids in pads going at it that way. I mean, what does a 7-on-7 really do for an, you know, for a kid, right?
They have those padded camps during the summer, you know, where the teams get together. I mean, Kaiser has one, a few other programs have one. But there's, to me, the thing that gets me the most is how many times are these kids going to run the 40 and do shuttles and all that stuff. And, you know, the marquee kids don't do them. They just don't because they can't help them. You know, if you're already a 4-star, it wouldn't pay for you to run the 40. And my big pet peeve, and I talked to Coach Golish up at USF when I was up there. I said, when was the last time a lineman had to run 40 yards? What the hell is that? I mean, that's the most painful thing at those camps to watch those linemen at 5'11", 290 run a 40-yard dash. They should be timed in 10 and 20s. That's it. Boom, boom. That's it.
Right, and some shuttles and stuff like that. They do have to go.
And the crazy part, Jazz, is these kids are heighted and weighted, right? And then I'll get home to look at, you know, because I'll look back at the kids that were there, and I'm thinking they were heighted and weighted right in front of me at like 5'9", 160, and you go home and they're 6'1", 210. And, you know, I mean, they're killing themselves. Those kids are, yeah, because, yeah, it's – there's a lot of flaws, but I, you know, I mean, I like the South Florida when they get together and do stuff, you know, and that would have been good this week too. They had another one slated, a 2-day tournament at Gwen Cherry Park. And yeah, it's a shame. I mean, I go to them, I mean, you know, just to keep up with the Joneses. I've seen the kids a billion times, but you go, you know, you never know what you find out. You know, well, especially you might get a new
kid that, yeah, you might get a new kid that pops up and you're like, oh, this kid
every
he's
day
got, he's gotten better. He looks good. He looks the part now. So yeah. I get those tournaments for that. But, you know, there's also showcases, right? Like you can do kind of like showcases. You don't necessarily have to do 7-on-7. They're so political that just put a showcase on. I know, you know, that they used to do some. I ran some Everglades, had a showcase that they did. That was great a while ago. Put it this way. I had a relationship with A.J. Leggett, and I took him to his first ever showcase as a 9th grader. And he won defensive MVP as a freshman and ran a 4.6.
A.J. Leggett, the first person to go 5 schools in 4 years.
Yeah, no kidding. Unbelievable. That was when he was at South Miami.
South Miami twice at Booker T. Gulliver.
Yep.
Yeah, he ran the gamut. He's got more T-shirts, more shirts than most people.
No, he's more alumni than – he can go to a bunch of alumni games.
But, yeah, no, you're right. I see what you're saying. But the whole thing is from the end of December when the state championship games are over right up until August, those kids don't slow down.
I know.
There's something every week. You got the All-Star 7-on-7. You got Lion Camps. You got everything. And it's not as prevalent during the month late of April and early into May because it's spring football. Come June 1st, all bets are off. And because remember now, and the NCAA's, I think, is to blame for a lot of this because they closed down their member schools in July. So there's no more July except the last week when, you know, Miami's doing a barbecue and somebody else's. But now what it does is it accelerates these colleges to get kids up 5 days a week in June, you know, like I said, USF, I was up there for 4 days. Then they had like a 9 more after that. I mean,
I think there should be like a, like, you know, an official like dead period for high school kids as well, where they can't go take.
You're in it.
They can't take visits. They can't go to showcases.
Ain't gonna happen.
You know, I know it's not gonna happen.
But I'm just saying, I just think it's played out you know, you look at where Vish lives and also Danny, and there's not a lot of those. There's some. It's just Florida for in the Southeast for some reason. They just every week, you know, and it's so important to put your picture up that you won the Georgia 7-on-7 tournament.
Right.
You know, these, you know, I don't mind if the kids go away, but come on, it's ridiculous. And, you know, I like when they go on the little caravans and, you know, they'll go to a lot of these schools. You know, what they'll do is they'll run a, you know, a couple of vans and they'll go throughout the Southeast. And a lot of these kids, you know, if they go up the Atlantic coast and see some of them historical places, you know, like battlegrounds in Virginia, North Carolina, things that they read about in history and stuff like that. I think that's beneficial. You know, Alabama and all the history, you know, going to South through Selma and going by the bridge. See, that's what I'm saying. Those kids benefit. But to go to Liberty City and to go to, you know, in those areas, what does it benefit? It doesn't benefit these teams, you know. But we'll see. I'm just, you know, I don't want to get everybody angry, but it's just one of those things. And I just – I have a lot of friends in the Houston area, and I wish them well. One, I had a friend this morning that they lost power around 7 o'clock in the morning in Houston, and they got it pretty bad. So I just want to put our prayers out to all those people. And I know we have some listeners that are from the Houston area. And yeah, that got to be worse. You just don't know. You don't know about those storms, you know?
Yeah, and we obviously know what that's like. So,
Yeah.
So, we do know.
On that, the chat's hopping over here. Just shout out some people. Dan Barry, Richard Hills, our guy Evan.
What's up?
Brian Humphrey. Anthony's got a question there as well. This might be a new chatter.
James Primus, what's up, man? There Richard Hill, Anthony, we got a bunch of people on there. Nice. Yeah,
we got some stuff to talk about though.
What did he say here? We stack in talent, no development of players. Sorry,
I was just putting his name up there. I wasn't necessarily reading the guy.
We're close to be, but yeah. Look, I mean, speaking of that, speaking of 7-on-7s and high schools, and speaking of Central, some of these kids, Central and Northwestern, and I know we spoke about Amari Wallace last week. We spoke about who's the other kid, the linebacker
Ezekiel Marshall.
We had those guys. We spoke about those guys, but. The Canes don't stop, man. The Canes did not stop. The recruiting train kept going and kept going strong, and we picked up, quite frankly, probably a top two players in the class so far, if you really want to think about it. Plus, we picked up a big-time 2026 kid that Blue will let you talk about in a second. But the big uglies, SJ – oh, jeez.
Four jobs. All right. Put it up,
and I'll spell it. I'll say it, but I can't remember the
Alifatuli.
There you go.
Alifatuli. There you go. Good job,
DJ. Coming through here.
Yeah, that 1 year of Samoan you took in high school. I really.
Have you ever seen DJ do the haka? He can do the haka, man.
Hey man, we all learned. We're all seeing something. We've all got practice now seeing something that looks a hell of a lot like Mauagoa and saying Mauanoa. We know what we're doing.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll tell you what, the Samoan pipeline is not a bad place to recruit from.
Not at all. Not at all, man. Oh, yeah, we talked about it off air. Some killer
banana. Hey, I haven't seen Melissa in ages on here. That's good. You're breathing.
Mal took home about half of the banana pudding that I made yesterday, so. Which, thank you. I appreciate it. She knows already, like, there's no way we're keeping that banana pudding here. So, and I was like, you got to leave me a little bit. So, I got a little bit left. So, that's good. But it was pretty good. Huh? She says I have a lot, not a little bit. I'm going to try to finish it off today. I'm going to try to polish that off today.
The peanut gallery is trying to
know. Anthony Manzano wrote is.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. It's between them and FSU.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I think.
I know he put a top three up, right? He put Miami, FSU, Oregon, or Auburn or something.
It'll come down to them, FSU and Miami, I think. FSU's doing pretty well, too.
Yeah, we don't acknowledge how good they're doing here. They suck.
I know, but still.
No, I get you. I'm just messing with you. But They are whiffing a lot on linebackers, but I didn't say that. Blue does need to watch buckets. And Blue needs to hang out with us. Mel told me yesterday, man, she hasn't hung out with you yet, Blue. She's
making a demand. Demands. Watch buckets and buy a hoodie.
Watch buckets and buy a hoodie, Blue. All right? And that way we can use it on your show, on the show and tell portion of the show at the end.
Yes. A hoodie Melissa designed in the last year with you know, a cup from 1967 Orange Bowl. You know, just a good dichotomy there.
I'll definitely buy one in the winter. It's way too hot right now up here to be thinking about hoodies.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, definitely get one in the winter.
Yeah, the 5 days that Danny has his fan on. There it is right there.
I have it on just for you. Just for you.
Oh man. All right. So let's get into it because we got three. Yeah, big
Melissa
commits.
Bought me this hat. That's how she was. Nice hat.
That is a nice hat.
It is a nice hat, yes.
Let's talk about these commits. Yeah, three big time
stuff happening. There's actual football to talk about. What are we doing?
Three big time prospects. We're talking S.J. Alafalafalafalafalafalatuli, and we've got who's the other kid? Oh, Hilton Stubbs, one of the best safeties in the country. I like to call him a flip, but he decommitted from USC about a week ago, or a little bit more than a week ago, and he is now a Miami Hurricane commit. So really happy about that. And I would probably say one of the most exciting prospects of 2026, Darian Coleman, quarterback Darian Coleman. So we've got at least one of our quarterbacks, if not our quarterback for the 2026 class. You know, an elite talent that's only getting better and better. So Blue had the chance to catch up with him and kind of watch a little bit of Darian Coleman recently. So we'll definitely talk about that. But let's start off with SJ first, Alafalatui. I don't even know if I said that right. But it sounds right, and we'll go with it. And a little bit about SJ, Blue, and DJ. I know you guys kind of know the big uglies more than anybody else. But, you know, again, a trench guy, one of the top interior offensive linemen in the country, another big, big, big kid. And of course, of the right kind, man. We got those Samoan, that Samoan bloodline here now, you know, coming down to Miami, which of course Mario has a great rapport with. He has recruited a lot of those big Samoans up in the Pacific Northwest before at Oregon and some even at Alabama and whatnot. So he still has that pipeline. And now he's bringing him down to Miami with guys like Marinoa and Alafalatu and SJ. So a little bit about SJ Blue. What type of guy is he, you know, is he going to come in and be one of the guards? Is he going to play center? What type of talent is SJ?
Elite type of kid, definitely. I mean, he's quick. He's strong. He's an agile kid. He's a technical freak and just does everything well. And I could see him at the guard spot. And Buchanan at the center spot, you know, for a short time future, and then when they get Ty Wise's son, then everything changes. But just a big time kid, an elite kid. You know, he's one of those guys. He's the Mauanoa of this year. He's a big, strong kid. He's got a mean streak to him. I was talking to, I told you, I know one of the coaches out of Gorman. We'll get a chance to see him play. They play against St. Thomas Aquinas in the showcase down here. He's a great fit. He's a big time steal because of the fact that when you get a kid from out west that's of that caliber, like Miami did with, you know, Mauanoa, although he was from IMG, but that's huge because there's a lot of real estate in between LA area and, you know, and in California and here. So, but he's or Vegas and here, but yeah, just an elite type of kid, probably along with Stubbs. I think they're the two highest. I think Stubbs may be a little bit higher because he's the number one safety. So, but Jesus, you know, you can't go wrong. And the whole thing is his, from what he was telling people is the very fact that your head coach was a lineman, a high level lineman. And you got a guy like Mirabal who's developed kids. That's what they were. That's why he said when he went to other places, they didn't have that type of, they had an offensive line coach, but You know, he went home and Googled Maribel and Googled Mario, and he found out that, you know, they've been, you know, touching some pretty elite players that are in the NFL. So, that, yeah, he's going to be big time. Danny, what'd you see in that?
By the way, that pipeline to Gorman, it just keeps going, man. Just keeps going.
They got three more next year, so don't go away.
Ooh. Gorman has a lot of good linemen. I was just about to say they have a lot of good linemen coming up. And as far as SJ is concerned, like you kind of alluded to, Blue, he's so quick. Like as soon as the ball is snapped, he immediately looks for somebody to block. He's very agile. He's not slow of foot. He can move pretty well side to side. You know, he's the type of guy, very aggressive, can finish off plays, so I think he'll fit perfectly. I mean, you guys talked about the offensive line development that this program prides itself on, and that combined with his overall raw skill is just going to be a perfect match. This was a huge get for Miami, and I would definitely keep tabs on Bishop Gorman for the next couple seasons because they have a lot of good linemen coming out of there.
Yep, and our pipeline is so strong there now with, you know, the guys like the Brevin Jordans and Elijah Loftins and
Tate Martell.
I was trying to not.
No, say that was him. Back in the day when Snoop Dogg was buying kids. That was
God, man. Why'd you have to do that, DJ? Yes, Tate Martell also. Nah, it's all right. It's all good.
He must have eligibility left, huh? He hasn't really played much of anywhere.
He might, but it's okay. He can take that eligibility somewhere else. But anyways, Bubba Bolden's guys like that, right? So obviously some big name talents from Gorman have come down to Miami and continue to now. So super excited about that. You mentioned the kid that might be even ranked a little bit higher than him. And slowly but surely, he's becoming a real fan favorite is, you know, Hilton Stubb. Some call him Drake Stubbs. He is, you know, one of the top, if not the top safety in the country, very similar to what Zaquan was last year. So now you're talking about getting the top two safeties in the country. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we did that a couple years ago as well, right? When we picked up James Williams and Avante Williams, right? Both Williams. We did that in back-to-back years recently. And so seems like we're doing it again now. Let's see if we hit on both of them this time with Zaquan and Williams.
The only difference there, Jazz, was James Williams came in, and everybody knew that he should be play with his hand down or be in the box, you know. But the thing
these
about
guys are true safeties, huh?
Yo, well, not only that, Stubbs can play corner. He's got loose hips. He's got long arms. He had 6 picks. He had 97 tackles. I mean, for a state champ, you know, a state title, you know, contender, they were in the state championship game last year against Columbus.
What school did he go to?
Jacksonville Mandarin.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. That's right. He was up there with Derek Plass.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, but not only that is that you get an opportunity, just like, you know, like some of the DBs like Zaquan and Chris Ewald had last year going against the high level receivers that they had. Well, he goes against Jamie French all the time.
Oh yeah.
Jamie's one of the best in the country as well. And then Tramell Jones is his quarterback. So he gets to go up against a pretty good quarterback.
He's the kid that's committed to FSU, right?
You're right. And tonight I had Hilton on the show, and those are the things that he said. And the thing that, you know, ultimately sold him on Miami. I mean, if you remember, I saw him 2 or 3 times at Miami in the spring. And I went over and his dad, oh, yeah, I know who you are. And he had me take a picture with him. That's when I said to myself, I said, this kid's going to go here. What is he, you know, why would he just show up? This is the second time I've seen him. And I said that to him tonight. And he said the only thing, one of the things was the proximity. His parents could, you know, either fly 5 hours or drive 5 hours, you know, what would be the easiest thing to do.
True.
And he's excited. He's he's one of those guys that turns into a recruiter now.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Is he going to bring his good old friend, Mr. French, over with him?
Yeah, I don't know.
That'd be a big time.
It would be huge. But you never know. I mean, it's one of those things. Right now, Miami's, you know, in the running for a couple of other guys too. And but he said that, you know, USC was really, he loved it. He loved the visit, but then he said Miami family, the coaches were great. And every time he came down, they rolled out the red carpet. And he says they, you know, they seem like they want you instead of, oh, here, you know, go over here and meet everybody. But they came out, and when he was, yeah, he liked it. And I'm telling you, man, you know, I don't get gravitated into the players like that too much. I mean, you know, but him and Elijah Lofton are two dudes that you're going to have to keep watching for the next couple of years. Although Vish is going to bring up my linebacker friend from Texas who who led Miami in tackles 2 years in a row, but we won't talk.
Who's that? I don't know who you're talking about.
we you know, we're not here to talk about the past. Who picked? Yeah, wins, who picked?
Where is he at? Sam Houston State now.
These are not important discussions.
He's at Missouri. He's at Missouri now, Blue.
He's at Missouri.
Yeah.
Jesus, they got a pretty good haul too.
Missouri has a lot of money to throw around.
Oh yeah.
Jesus,
oh,
they
yeah.
must.
I'll tell you. That's Jesus. It's gonna be interesting.
They just got the receiver from Coco.
Yep,
yeah. they've got the kid. What's his name? Luther
Borden?
Luther Vandross. Luther Vandross. Luther Vandross is a wide receiver. Burden or whatever. Yeah, Burden. I think his name is Burden. You're right.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They've got a good squad.
Forget about their money. Let's talk about.
Yeah, let's talk about our money. Let's talk about Hilton's. So. Here's my thing with Hilton Stubbs, right? So now Hilton Stubbs comes in, and you still, someone mentioned in the chat, I saw that they're, you know, they're still looking at guys like Bryce Fitzgerald and some other names that at that position, but also at other multiple positions, you start seeing guys like Stubbs commit, and, you know, going against guys like that on a daily basis changes everything for players, right? They want to go up against the best. They don't want to look at me when you're that good when it comes to recruiting, and I understand this so well because of the nature of the industry and the business that I'm in now, but when you're that good, the big things don't matter anymore. It's not because everybody has it. Everybody has great facilities. Everybody has NIL money. At least if you're one of the top players in the country, those are the people that are going to go after you. Because all the teams with all the NIL money, all the teams with the amazing facilities, all the teams that are going to tell you that they can do this, that, and the other, I mean, they're all going to be the same. The difference is the attention to detail. The difference is the level of service that you get, how you're treated, the consistency about it, those little things are what put you over the top. And some schools do it better than others. And it's obvious that Miami does it really well. Just, you know, as good as the top, you know, top, I almost said companies, but basically, right, the top schools in the country. It's those things. They pay attention to detail. They do the little things right. And that's what speaks to a lot of these players, like your Stubbs and all the big name prospects and SJ and whatnot. I mean, if you got all these kids coming from the West Coast over here, or from Jacksonville or from Alabama or whatever it is, right? You've got Timothy Merritt who committed here from Alabama. He's right in Alabama's backyard. And, you know, the kid pulled the trigger and came here. That's a kid that Alabama's going to go after. I'm sure we're going to be in a dogfight with him, you know, a la Kevin Riley, how we were last year. But I think hopefully we win this one out. But, you know, it's these kids are going to want to come in and compete and play against the best like they were, you know, in high school. But they also, the attention to detail, the small things are what matter to them the most. And I think that that's important that we, you know, that we really pay attention to as Miami continues to, you know, to recruit some of these high level players, is they're going to win out a lot of times because of that. I don't know if you kind of want to piggyback off of that or say something else with regards to how these recruiting battles are, how Miami's winning some of these battles, especially after the season that they had, right?
Yeah, I mean, Mario's very good at this. And we actually talked about this a little bit last year. There's so many shady people around promising him the world, and he's genuine. And that carries a ton of weight. Like, he's good with the parents, the families, and the kids. And the one thing with Mario, you can say whatever you want about, and certainly our fans love to criticize him. He is transparently honest with these kids. And, you know, it's not, I'm going to tell you you're starting your first year and everyone knows you're full. He's full of it, right? What he provides is transparency. And that carries a lot of weight, as you said, Jazz, when there's everyone's throwing out NIL money. Everyone's talking about, everyone's either got a brand new facility or is actively building or renovating it. Like, it's like there's literally nothing that's stuck in any major conference at this point. And so those are not advantages. So it actually, it's almost gotten back to old school of like, it's the coach, it's the relationship business again, because all that other stuff is almost canceling itself out. You're not, you know, when you start talking about the amount of money being thrown around, it's not the differentiator anymore. It's all an ass load of money wherever they go. So it does become, yeah, certainly. Oh, I think I have a better chance of making the pros here, because that's where you get that next level of paycheck. But also it's like, yeah, no, I can trust this person because they're being honest with me. And Mario is 100% genuine. And it's not always nice. You know, it's this, you mentioned your job. Why tell people work? It's like, I'll answer your question. Honestly, it might not be the answer you want to hear, but you'll get an honest answer from me, right? And I think he brings that with him. And there are some coaches, even in a TV interview, you can tell they're full of shit. And it's like, who would want to play for that when you're being, you know, sold a bag of goods? And I think that is what he brings. It's obviously a program. And then the other thing is, you know, the credibility. Like, this is, you know, this is the program he went to, his brother went to, right? He believes in this program. He's not selling you someone else's program. He's selling, you know, the community's, Miami's program, which he is an integral part of the history of and the future of. So all that connects. Like, when he says, I believe in the University of Miami, he obviously means it. Right. And I think all of that matters. That matters in these big battles when you're being told, everyone is telling you. And by the way, these elite recruits like Hilton Stubbs, they're being presented with a bunch of good options. There's no bad options. Right. Exactly. So it's not like, you know, so these are tough decisions for them. And those things at the margins matter, and being genuine and straightforward. Mario is very good at coming across that way because he actually is that way. And that's why he's so good at recruiting. And he does everything blue top, puts in all the work, right? Works his ass off. He spends the extra time to build a relationship that some coaches don't do. And all of that pays off. But at the end of the day, it's him, right? It's his personality. It's the fact that he's genuine. And even when kids leave, you know, you don't really, obviously, like, you know, we've had a lot of kids transfer out and a lot of kids transfer in the last couple of years. You don't really see a lot of them coming out and saying, man, that guy was terrible or anything. It's more just, yeah, had to move on, you know? And that's also like, usually when you have this much churn, you don't get, you know, you don't have that. But again, he's, I think, straightforward with the kids, and it carries a lot of weight in how he's built this program. And that's frankly how you build to last.
You know, it's funny you mentioned, well, that last part was actually perfect, because it's just so interesting to see how, you know, how we've mentioned, it's going to be a few, five, 10, maybe 15 teams or programs that are going to figure it out. They're going to understand how to do this on a consistent basis. And those are the teams you're going to see in the playoffs. You'll see a couple random ones sneak in here and there, but you're going to see a lot of consistency with that top 15, you know, program, because of, they're going to figure out how to do this the right way. Recruit the right way, transfer portal the right way. I think where you're going to start to see, like, put it this way, here's a perfect example of a team that in the next, I don't know, the next 3 or 4 years, because it could happen even quicker than that, but I think the next 3 or 4 years, you're going to see a significant fall off unless they figure it out and they turn it around, is Clemson. Clemson did not take one single player in the transfer portal this year or cycle or whatever you want to call it. Zero. They took zero transfer portal kids. They lost a few kids to the transfer portal, but they took zero kids in the transfer portal. Now, some people might say, well, that's good. They've got a great recruiting class and this, that, and the other. But no, Miami has a great recruiting class. Alabama, Georgia, you know, Texas, Oregon,
Ohio State.
You know, Ohio State, you name it. All those teams have great recruiting classes. And they've been able to bring in a lot of really good players, but they also go after kids in the transfer portal. And this day and age, you have to do that. You have to be able to pivot and make the adjustment and start doing those type of things. Because if you're going to lay down and be, you know, this pride, I've got too much pride, excuse me, to be going out into the transfer portal and picking up players and recruiting them that way, you're going to lose out on a lot of top-tier talent, and your program is going to suffer, you know? And it's funny that CCH mentions Clemson is whiffing on everybody. I mean, Clemson's Clemson, man. Clemson's not going to whiff on everybody. Clemson also didn't put forth maximum effort to go out there into the transfer portal. You're not going to miss on zero. You're not going to miss on everybody and have zero transfer portal kids. It's just ridiculous. That's right, just because they want to do that.
But what he's doing, it would be like an NFL GM saying, I'm not participating in free agency.
Right.
This is malpractice. It's wild. It's crazy. You know what? They haven't been good the last few years. Not up to their standards.
You've already started to see a decline.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, where are they going to be a year or two from now if they can't supplement talent like everyone else is?
Right.
I'd be really upset if I was a Clemson fan. Like, what is he doing?
I agree.
What is he doing? It doesn't make any sense.
I agree. We'll see what happens with them. I'd be interested to see how it starts to shape out in the next 3 or 4 years, the landscape of college football. It's already changing, obviously. And this year it's going to be interesting then, you know, just to see how the playoffs are going to, kind of shape who does what.
So speaking of which, new committee member. The playoff selection committee. You saw that, right?
Well, no, I didn't see it.
Who? Our guy Dan Radakovich is on the playoff committee now as the ACC representative for the next 4 years.
Is he now?
Yes. So, FSU fans, you thought you had to do some convincing before.
Oh boy! Listen, you're gonna have to do. Do you guys have any idea what Vish had to do to get his media pass for Formula One for the race here in Miami? You're gonna have to do something like that, or maybe even more. All right, so get ready, FSU.
Right, I mean, you're gonna really have to prove your case. You think undefeated's enough to get into this 12-team playoff? You're out of your mind.
Oh my god, that's funny. That's funny.
Yeah, but no, they announced that today. So his term started on Monday, nice. on last Monday. So it's July 1st this year to I think June 30th, 2028. So,
sweet. Okay.
And he's the ACC representative on the committee. You know, I'm usually anti-corruption, but, you know, in this case...
Corrupt away, my friend.
A little inside baseball is fine, you know. How'd they get 8-4 Miami into the playoffs? I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Oh, my gosh, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. Lou, let's talk about Darian Coleman for a second. As I mentioned earlier, one of the top quarterbacks in the 2026 class. You're able to see him a couple of weeks ago. I believe it was a couple of weeks ago. I know you've seen him in the past.
7-on-7.
Is this kid the real deal or what?
Yeah, right. Comes over from Fort Meade, which is over near Lakeland, and came over to play over there. In fact, I was up at USF 2 days in a row. They came, sat there and talked to his dad, watched him spin the ball, and I'm thinking, you know what? Kid's pretty good. You know, I thought he was kind of small. You know, I think he's kind of thin. He's not. He's like 5'9", he's 5'10". He'll grow a little bit. Remember, he's got 2 years. Then I watched him at the University of Miami. It was kind of like I told you, that competition,
right?
With him and Michael Clayton, and they brought a kid from out west and another kid or two. He killed it. I mean, dude made every play. Talking with Coach Dawson about it, and he just said the thing that kind of separates him, he spins the ball real well, but he also can move the chains with his legs. And, you know, you need a mobile quarterback compared to Van Dyke. Jesus, I'm a mobile quarterback. Yeah, so
I'm a mobile quarterback compared to
Van Dyke. But the offense that they have now, he'll fit in really well. And
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big this summer with great deals. All in the Kroger app. Get 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 10 for 10 on items like Lay's Stacks, Rice-A-Roni, and Sparkling Ice Sparkling Water for $1 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, it'd be him, Nickel, and whoever else they bring in. You know, it's better to have all these quarterbacks than not to have. So we'll see. It adds competition. You know, a lot of you know that most of these guys will probably end up leaving. I think the best for Emery Williams, if he keeps playing. I mean, you know, if you know he gets his opportunity to play here, I think he'll do well. But we'll see. But you got Darian. Like I said, he's got great vision. He's a really good athlete. But those are the type of kids at high school. You know how things are in high school. You usually take your better athletes and put them at quarterback.
Right.
You know they, but and then when they get to the next level, they go, oh, you're a receiver now, or you're a corner now, and yeah, it's gonna be he's like Lamar Jackson. That's what they wanted to do to him. You know, they go, oh yeah, well you're playing quarterback at Boynton because we need that type of athlete. Oh well.
So you think that's
a couple of MVP right? Later in the NFL, and I guess.
You think that's the type of talent that Darian Coleman is, or is he a guy that's going to stick at quarterback?
Yeah, he'll stick at quarterback because of his arm. His arm is really good, and he's got great vision, and he just and his ability to run the ball. So what it's going to do is if he rolls out, right. The corners are going to pull up because if they go back, he'll just run the ball on them. So that's going to add a dimension.
You mentioned Tutu Atwell, right? I think you mentioned him right now, right?
Even like Ward, if Ward takes off to the outside, mm-hmm. You know, he's going to get these corners are not going to be able to play, you know, the position. They're going to have to move up to help support the tackles on them. And if they don't, then they'll get burnt. So that's what he brings to the table. He brings that dual threat. And Miami very rarely had a dual threat like that, a really good dual threat. They got one now this year, but it's a one-year deal. But, good fit in.
Great.
And like I said, watching him in person, the first thing you notice, and a couple of people came up to me, goes, oh, my God, he's like looks like Tutu Atwell. And they said, he's tiny. I says, yeah, but he's a junior, and he's going to grow, and he'll put on weight, he'll put on muscle. But the very fact that he doesn't need to be a drop-back quarterback, and he doesn't need to be 6'4". See, his game is not predicated on his height. It's predicated on his athleticism. So, and I think that with Dawson, I think that was the direction he wanted to go in the first place. And then they gave him a kid who wasn't very mobile. So, you know, that's, I think.
So how does that play into?
In Nickel. Nickel runs the ball. Yeah.
I was going to say, is Nickel athletic enough to do that, though?
He's not going to rush 9 times for 150 yards, but he's going to. But he has enough speed where he, you know, but he's more of a dropback kid.
And he's got escapability, I think.
Yeah, he has escapability, but he doesn't have blazing speed. But he's going to get you 9, 10, 11 yards, you know. So, cool.
Okay.
Yeah, but so that's where they're going, you know. I think with Clayton, maybe the reason that they didn't, you know, maybe offer him is because of the fact that I think he's too kind of a bigger kid. And I don't think that he has that escapability, and he's another drop-back passer. If you're going to be a drop-back passer, you got to still be able to get out of that pocket. And once you get out of that pocket, you have to have the ability to at least suck up, you know, a corner or, you know, a safety from the back. Because right. if you don't give that, you know, sort of like, you know, to get credibility, you've had to punch somebody one time. So that's the whole thing. He's got to get the credibility. And I think once he takes off for like a 29-yard gain, they go, oh, okay, when he's about to run, we're going to have to, you know. But that adds a dimension because if he doesn't cross the line of scrimmage and they suck up, he's got a wide receiver be wide open. So
we'll see. It's going to be fun to watch him play. I think he's one of those guys that he's committed now. And, again, like you mentioned earlier, Blue, he's going to recruit a lot for us. You know, as long as he is one of the top tier quarterbacks, he's going to be able to bring some guys with him. That's just how
you know,
Outlaws are recruiting.
The Central Florida area has been good to Miami this year. I mean, they, it doesn't always go that way, but they got the Campbell kid, they got Wilkinson, they got Buchanan, they got him for the future. You know, so they've done okay in that area. A lot of kids don't stick. The kid from Winter Park, who didn't really work out very well at corner. But yeah, you see now the talent level in Orlando is, you know, with Lake Mary's and, you know, with Grubbs going to Notre Dame, and you got, you know, some of those elite kids in that area going places. Miami could stick their head in there now by getting an elite quarterback like Darian and getting, you know, a Buchanan and getting a Wilkinson and getting a Campbell. At least they got their place in there now. You know, Florida's long owned that area if there was some elite talent.
Well, now they're getting some of those IMG kids that they couldn't get before. Now they're getting those.
Oh, shoot. And then Gavin Nix, too. He's a Central Florida area kid, too. But, he,
right.
You know, so that's, yeah, that's a good thing. They've recruited. Yeah, I think the Mauanoas, the get by Mauanoa from IMG kind of opened the floodgates. Because he's still considered, he's probably one of the top kids I've ever seen in high school playing that position. He's a man child. He just, and that's the way that, you know, that's the way that Miami has to recruit now. And I think they're doing pretty good at it. I'm honest, you know, to a point where I said last couple of years, I thought they'd have a tough time. It just didn't have the depth. And I sat there today and with a buddy of mine, and we went over to the 2022 roster. Man, I'll tell you, I didn't think that there were that many changes, but I think there was 11 kids, 12 guys left.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah. And they were elite kids, you know, like, yeah, with Rivers and a couple of those guys like that who were.
Oh, Rivers turned himself into one of the best linemen in the country. That's pretty impressive now.
Too. But he always was good. It's just that.
Yeah.
He needs his buddy, was kind of a disappointment.
Who's his buddy? Which one?
The DN kid that came from Oak Leaf with him. I can't even think of his name. Darn it. Someone will pop it up.
Yeah,
he came. They came as a pair. Remember him? The kid was a defensive end, and God damn it, not Omar Williams. I just blank drawing a blank. But oh, yeah,
that's all right.
I'm gonna pop it up.
We'll figure it out. Yeah, Oakleaf guy.
But, yeah,
CCH. I'm sure CCH knows who he is. Well, this is kind of what I wanted to get into now with all these kids that are starting. Look, it's starting to heat up now. Williams. Oh, Chance Williams.
Chance, yeah.
Chance Williams. Okay. Thanks, Jose. Appreciate it. With everything that's going on now recruiting, right, Miami's kind of it's getting real hot for them. They're on the board for a couple other guys, Jabari, Antoine, we can't use their ability. Absolutely. I think they're rebuilding excuses out the window already. So if they use that, then they got big problems. So yeah, Chance Williams. You know, as
yeah,
I was saying,
I would just say I don't think anything's gonna hinder us. We're on an upward trajectory.
I wouldn't say that yet. Let's wait till we see the games on the field.
I mean, what's the point of the show then?
I mean, we're trying to figure that out. Listen, DJ,
we have a formula. You give a realistic prediction. I make an ass of myself.
All right, fair enough.
That's
fair enough.
For the next this year. Is going 16-0.
Fair enough.
16-0. What are we talking about?
No better than that, DJ. Jesus Christ.
Fair enough. I mean, Blue and I.
No, but more seriously, like obviously, like we're gonna do position breakdowns and then do predictions as the summer rolls on into the season and all that good stuff. But
it's what
I don't. I think
we're like less. We're a little over a month away from those vaunted predictions.
Yes, those vaunted predictions.
DJ and I are doing our.
I can't believe it's coming up again. It's coming up.
I'm gonna have to counterbalance it to get the average up here. It's like the GPA. Get the Indian in there to try and
raise
it. But no.
The math wasn't mathing the other day. I don't know.
DJ, if we get it right again, they're gonna move us to Vegas.
I know we gotta play the lottery if we get it right again.
Yeah, but I think you know, I do think a lot of what we've seen in terms of coaching issues have been talent issues that are making games closer than they need to be.
Yeah, so you might not be putting those positions because
this is a little bit of a tangent. We look at some of the talent development from a, like a functional standpoint, I mean, like that, is we're churning out good linemen.
Yep.
Right. We're turning out like our running backs are productive. You know, Restrepo is one of the leading receivers in school history. You know, we are churning out. Like, look at, I mean, Blue beat me to it this week, but you know, we're even eking, you know, leading tacklers, Corey Flagg, right? I mean, that is development, right? That is talent development. I think we have, and Blue talked about this 2 years ago and how much the roster's turned over. I think we always, or not always, but often have a delusional view of how good our talent is. They've got Miami, they're Miami players. They're gonna just show up and they're better than like, you know, I don't know, Louisville's players. No, they're not. They haven't been, right? Now we're getting to the point where they actually are. But like, no, like you wouldn't necessarily, like we're long gone were the days that we're like, we show up against any ACC team and like would take, our starters are all better than their starters. That certainly wasn't the case of quarterback last year. But so I think, and then you end up in these close games where where we start micro analyzing this call here or that call there. Like,
yeah,
if you're playing a lot of those close games, you're really making mistakes. I mean, the talent upgrade is what's going to take us out of that.
Yep.
I agree. And so, no, I don't think we're going to get hindered. We're going to kick some ass. Stay tuned for that prediction later. I got Florida radar going right now, man.
Get ready, Blue.
So coming up in the next couple of months, we're going to do position breakdowns. I guess in the next couple of weeks, actually.
We're in July. Next month is the season.
Next week, we're going to start doing position breakdowns.
Yeah.
Position breakdowns.
That's a little too early.
For position breakdowns?
No, we only have like 5 shows or 6 shows. Five shows before
the opener is the 31st. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
August 31st.
So. There's not that much time.
I say the same thing, Blue. I'm like, we got time. Nope.
Because if you think, all right,
next week is the kickers or what?
Because
we do no show prep, we have to do it on the show. But if you back up from the Florida game, right? So that week we'd want to preview the Florida game.
Right.
So you want to do the season preview the week before that. Right. Handful of shows, max before that.
So. The only show where we do live show prep so everyone can hear us. You all are not going to be surprised.
We might have to bring Mel on for the prediction
show. Yeah, no, we'll pop her in for a minute. She can give her prediction.
We'll bring her on and we'll bring on like Lex because – you know, Lex is going to say national championship 16-0. So we need more of those guys on the show because we know.
No. We're not bringing Lex DJ on to steal my bit. Get the hell out of here.
You're right. That's right. If you're going to go all the way, forget about it.
I'm not dealing with the competition. I'm not a green tree. I'm not competing for my spot.
Lex, we'll have to bring you on to another show, brother. We'll have to bring you on to another
There's
show.
There's no way I'll do that.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
By the time that game kicks off against Florida, I'm going to expect to win by 50. Yeah, so I'll tell you that right now. I'm ready. Yeah.
What's the line? 12? No,
I don't know.
We're winning by 28 points.
The line's like 3 or something.
Sure, the line will be 2.5 or 3.
Yeah. I think it is like 3 right now.
Anyway, I mean, I'm already like, if we don't beat their ass, I'm going to stop watching football.
I spent 2 days having to listen how they're going to beat Miami's ass.
Yeah, I know. All right.
Well,
what is for thing that Pyburn is coming to Miami? What?
Huh?
Jack Piper? Why would Jack? What? That's are you? Is that like a repeat? Is that like a repeat post from last year before he?
The kid from Minnesota last year?
Yeah, that was the
yeah.
The kid from event. Jacksonville Bulls.
Jacksonville. Yeah, Jack Piper. He's a big kid. He's a big, good player too.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah,
right, yes. Yeah, so we'll do position breakdowns.
Miami
doesn't get
many Jacksonville Bulls.
No, we don't. But we'll do some breakdowns and then we'll do season predictions as well. But before we get to that, a couple of guys, Blue, that we got to throw at you, see if he's a Cane, yes or no. DJ Pickett.
Whew. That's between LSU and Miami, I think, right?
Yeah, I heard someone said Oregon also, isn't it?
Oh, Oregon's in there. Whew. I'm going to say yes.
Ooh, I like it. God, we need that guy too.
Because of the family ties.
Right. I know he's is he related to Booker Pickett?
Cousin.
No shit. Okay. All right. All right.
Cousin
like
and his uncle played at Miami too. Booker's dad.
Oh, okay. I like it. Then I'm gonna go Miami there too. Jarquez Carter.
Whew. They say he's 100% here.
Really?
He's a beast.
Yeah, he's a big kid.
I've been watching that kid since he's in ninth grade. Great, well coached. They up in that Jacksonville area, a lot of those kids get together and they work out on, you know, on their own with the linemen and stuff. Yeah, and that's another dude that's going to be like Redding and Restrepo. He's going to he'll be graduated before he gets there. He's got great grades.
Jamie French. Yes or no? Okay. All right.
I think he's going to follow his quarterback to FSU.
Give me a wide receiver that Miami's looking at for next year's class.
For 26 or 25?
For 25.
Wow.
Is there anybody on the list?
There's really no high-level kids in Florida. Yeah. Now, maybe there's somebody outside.
Right.
I was looking today for all the guys that are still, you know, I mean, they're not going to get what's his name? Vernell Brown, so.
No, not over Vernell Brown.
No, I just think Florida. You see, when you get those ties like that, right. Mom, dad, mom, uncle, granddad, we all went to Florida. It's a little tough to, you know.
I hear you.
I'd like to see Miami get the Tyler Williams kid that went from Armwood to, I mean, went from, what is it, Sumner to Armwood. He's a good looking kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know. DJ, you scour more than I do as far as the outside kids. I don't really – if you tell me about a kid, I could tell you. Yeah, French is tough, but I don't think he's going to come here.
I don't think there's going to be a lot of competition for French, and as much as I would love him at Miami, I don't see him coming
here. I think he goes to Ohio State. I think French has a
better – Yeah, I mean
– It's just such a crowded house there now. Yes. Although Jeremiah will be there 1 year and gone, and he'll be in the NFL, so –
Even still, the draw of Brian Hartline and their ability to develop could be a massive selling point.
I agree.
It's going to be fun to watch.
A lot of kids going in the first round over the last couple of years.
Absolutely.
And the last kid for you, Blue, Bryce Fitzgerald, Miami or no?
I like him. But Miami's picking up a lot, you know, with the portal and they're picking up a lot of secondary kids.
Yeah.
So where, you know, I mean – He'll probably look at that situation and he'll say, wait a minute. They just picked up this guy. They picked up that guy. And maybe he'll feel that somewhere else is a fit. But I'd like to see him stay home. Miami usually does well with the Columbus kids, especially because of Mario and some of the other guys that he's close to.
Yeah, I know that is.
Yeah, JoJo.
That's interlocked with like half the admin at Miami. So
I agree with Richard. I think JoJo Trader is going to be pretty special.
Yeah. I think he's going to be one of the best communicators eventually. So that's saying a lot. So
we'll have to let Blue prep for this for another show. I'm not going to put him on the spot and ask him to name his four most random facts.
Gosh.
Let's talk to Tito, man. International viewer.
Oh, Tito. Nice. Pura vida, papa. Pura vida.
It's time for show and tell, and I got it.
Real quick before we go to show and tell, there was one other news story today. So as Melissa said, it'll be the you versus the poser you.
Las Vegas,
2027. You versus the poser. We will stop by Blue's alma mater while we're in there. You know, we're gonna.
Are you making it a road trip? Are you going Blue to Vegas?
I'll go there.
I mean, a flight, hopefully not a road.
I'll go there.
I know Blue drives everywhere. Use a plane, please.
I won't have to drive there.
But yeah, I have to show us your old stomping grounds at UNLV.
I should take you to a couple places.
So, you know, there's good symmetry after taking out the fake Miami last year. We're going to take out the fake you. It's all coming full circle. We're coming back here.
I like it. Hey, hold on. Paris Stevens says, why is Luke Nichol not getting it? Oh, he gets a lot of love.
From where? Where?
Yeah, he gets a lot of love from us. We love Luke Nichol on the show. He's a friend of the program.
Are you talking about on this show?
Maybe nationally, he might not be getting it.
I mean, he's an Elite 11 quarterback, so.
Yeah.
I feel like last week I spent like 3 minutes talking about how awesome he is.
I know. Like, he was on the show. He's a friend of the program, so we love him.
He's a guest here, too. We are Luke Nichol fan club over here.
No update on Blue's Twitter handle, CCH.
Yeah, we're still trying to.
No, they're not going to give it back. It looks because what they did is they changed the email, and then when you ask for them to send a password, they send it somewhere that I don't know about.
Idiots.
And then when I asked
the old Twitter,
huh?
I missed the old Twitter.
Yeah, well, Whatever I could do, I could do. You know what? You can still communicate with me every week here. And then I got still have the other stuff. And I got my Our Boy Blue on Instagram. So, and my Facebook is good. So Facebook's for like 18-year-olds and then 100-year-olds. So there's no in between there.
Yeah.
Just, isn't that the truth?
All right, so let's get the technology.
All right, it is show and tell time.
This is taking you back to 1978. This is a San Diego State Miami program here.
Ooh,
me, oh,
look at that! Look at that!
That was the Jim Kelly era, huh?
No, it was before.
Oh, it was right before, actually. Yeah, Jim Kelly.
But I will show you the lineup here. Yeah, that Miami had in that in the grand matchup here. They had they have back then. Yeah, they did have Jim Kelly. You're right.
Well, he was there, but was he the starter? He might have been.
No, but here's a good question. Vinny Testaverde wore 14. What was the first number he wore?
What was the first number Vinny Testaverde wore? 17.
Okay, 18. And the Jim Kelly, who originally who wore 12, what was the first number he wore?
He wore 9.
Okay, he wore 7.
Hold on. 7?
7. 7.
Yeah.
What does it say? Oh, there it is. Okay.
See it up top?
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep.
He wore number 7. Any other recognizable names?
Of course, man.
Otis Anderson.
Yeah.
Oh, Ricky, Super Bowl Ricky MVP. Valentino.
Ricky Valentino.
Yeah. Pat Walker was a good wide receiver. This is before Miami had a lot of stars, but they had a few kids.
Steve.
That was it. But it's always good to go through a lot of these things. The pictures are, you know, pretty neat because of the fact that you don't they're not like they were. And this was a 1978 University of Miami freshman squad that had Kelly, Mark Richt, David Jefferson, Fred Marion, Mark Rush, Mark Cooper, Lester Williams. So yeah, had a pretty. There's a picture of it right there.
Wow, those are cool, man. Can't believe you have all that stuff.
That's but awesome. You know what? As I'm going through stuff, I have a trillion things. It's just that I don't have a lot of things that right. You know, and handle, but I as I got more time, which is now that I just did all my stuff for July, I'll have more time to go through stuff. But I still looking for my Nebraska Miami shirt from '84. It was a classic shirt. It was a picture of the ibis with a corn for his Peter and his hey Nebraska. Husk this.
That's awesome.
I got to find it.
Oh, man. Anyways.
Totally different segments. Matt's final thoughts. This is musings on something. Blues is memorabilia. Blues is more similar to Melissa's box of crap that we opened on Buckets one time, which was all her memorabilia from, like, when she was a student.
That's wild.
And just shoved it in a box, and we took it out of mothballs, including the article of when she got thrown out of a
I actually remember that.
Wrote up on that. So if you have not seen that, go look at the back catalog of Buckets.
Melissa was a Hellraiser back in the day, huh?
She waved money at a ref, and he went to event staff and had her.
She gets some fire water in her. She'll do some talking, I'm sure.
She doesn't.
Well, that's how we're going to have her on that prediction show. We'll have her on the prediction show, so for sure. Thanks for everybody. In the chat today, Parrish and CCH, Mel, Richard, the whole crew, Anthony, everybody else, Pimp Down made an appearance as well. So I saw you on the show and everybody else that was on there. So we appreciate it. We'll be back next week. We're going to do – obviously, we'll be back tomorrow with Canes on Deck at 4-1.
Well, but no, we won't.
What's tomorrow? Tomorrow's,
I thought about this. I can't.
We'll talk off tomorrow. The air.
Yeah, no, I totally forgot.
Can't do a show tomorrow, so
no baseball tomorrow, which is fine by me,
and no F1,
and no F1, which is also fine by me because I will be doing a lot of traveling this week for work, so I can use the rest. Anyways, we'll be back next week with position breakdowns. as we get closer and closer to August 31st, baby, kickoff day. It's BUF day, absolutely. So we got a huge party that everybody's in. Well, I'm just kidding. Nobody's invited. So I'm just joking. Just a joke. We'll see you guys next Monday. And of course, be on the lookout for buckets and all that other good stuff as well that Mel and Matt and Vishnu. By the way, my mom still can't get Vish's name right, but that's whatever. That's neither here nor there.
That's why we call him Vish.
Yeah, no, I mean, she can't get Vish.
She can't even get Vish right.
Okay. What does she call you?
Vish. Alex Donna Vish. Was the best at pronouncing your whole name.
Yeah, no, Donna would go for it, man.
Yeah, he's good.
He's good. Yeah. You gotta listen to the voicemail. You learn. Listen to tell Vish, don't answer your calls. I'm gonna call you on your voicemail.
Do I have a voicemail?
Yeah, you can get your last name on it. Well, if you listen closely, because even if you do, you'll be like, what the hell did he just say?
Dude, I recorded a voice. Like, I don't even know. Who uses a phone to make a call
anymore? It's the Pentagon voicemail.
Anyways, we'll see you guys next Monday. Adios.
The Six Ring Kane Show. Yeah. The Six Ring Kane Show. Yeah. The Six Rings Kane Show. You know.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.